listening to the MindfulBiz podcast. I'm Alison Morgan, business coach at Relauncher. Today, Tui Takiri joins us. She's a dedicated spiritual entrepreneur, psychic medium, healer, and the visionary behind a platform that merges the ancient wisdom of spirituality with the transformative power of the modern healing practices. With a deep passion for empowering individuals on their journey to self-discovery and holistic wellness, Tui offers a range of services designed to nurture the body, mind, and soul. Her work encompasses intuitive readings, energy healing, and personalized mentorship, all aimed at guiding individuals towards a life of greater balance, harmony, and fulfillment. Join us in this episode as Tui shares insights into living a soulfully aligned life, embracing the journey of continuous evolution, and the beauty of connecting with one's true essence. Tui, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. I've been wanting to have you here for years. So before we kick into it, I would love you to introduce yourself to the listeners.
Oh, thanks for having me here, honey. I'm a bit of a jack of all trades. I'm predominantly known as a psychic medium. It's how my career really started to take off. And the role has evolved since then. So I'm now the founder of Our Rising Academy, where I support and empower spiritual entrepreneurs and empaths develop their gifts and their business. And we're also into corporate too. We're doing retreats. It's a whole thing. We're doing a little bit of everything now. So yeah, lots of fun.
Amazing. So look, we'll dive into the different sectors, but before we get started, the whole kind of psychic medium thing is a bit of a mystery to a lot of people. So how about you describe how you personally are a psychic medium?
Okay, so I personally come from a long line of psychic mediums. I have done this ever since I was a little kid, so I actually don't know the difference. And the more that I collaborate and with lots of other people, the more I realize, oh, I really am odd. I have this kind of ever-going conversation with spirit. I find it like, I tell people it's the original iCloud, it's the original GPS. It is such a handy tool because they warn me when there are situations that are coming up. They tell me when there are opportunities on the horizon. They will even, you know, like how our GPS will say, oh, there's a better route or there's a faster route, there's traffic further up ahead, and they'll give you an alternative path. That's my experience with spirit. So if there is a more efficient and effective way to getting to where I need to go or impacting more lives, they will give me the option to course correct. Do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And growing up with that, it's been such a powerhouse, and then realizing that other people don't live life like that and being able to support others in navigating their way through life with that in mind is incredible.
It's incredible.
And it really, yeah, it's such a privilege to be able to hold space for people like that.
What age did you have your first encounter with the spirit?
Young, like three, I want to say as early as three that I can remember. I actually have just launched last week my podcast, Tea with Tui, and the first season is all about my journey, and it is not light and love for the most part. I didn't get to see my grandparents at the end of my bed. It was quite turbulent, to say the least. And it's been a really interesting ride. It's been such an interesting ride. Yeah,
but I just want to dive in. I just want to dive in a little bit here because I just find it so intriguing. And as you know, I love this kind of stuff. So at 3 years old, we don't know much and we don't understand much. So did you tell anyone about it? Like what kind of encounter do you think that you experienced at that age?
Well, I don't know if your audience is ready for it. It's a bit
spooky. Oh, just tell them.
Okay. So I actually had an experience in the middle of the night when I was three, and It was a man, and the only way that I can describe it with adder eyes looking back is that it was as if this person had found me and finally was ready to either take vengeance or like there was intent for me to not walk on this earth anymore. And at a young age, I actually, yeah, he would strangle me in the middle of the night. And I'd wake up. The first time it happened, I woke up and I saw a man there. But I remember waking up thinking, just breathe, Tui, breathe, breathe. Like, and from a very young age, I can remember a conversation in my head thinking that I'm dumb because how can you forget to breathe? And I was just too young. I was too young to understand what was going on. But this happened consecutively to the point where, you know, he eventually was gone. But the feeling that I got was that he had found me after all this time and was coming to get me. And I had, and I'm going to describe it as an angel, but when I was little, I only saw this blue light. I remember the third night that it happened, I called out for help and I went to a Christian college. And so I didn't know who to call for. I just remember praying to God and asking him to come and help me. And out of nowhere, like, at the end of my bed where the door was open, a blue light, a blue orb, just a round ball came in, and I didn't see a person, which is why I can't say as a child I saw an angel. With adult eyes and professional eyes looking back, I know it was Archangel Michael, but, you know, back then what I saw was a blue ball and I was screaming out to help me. And it was in my mind because he was choking me. And then he, oh, I don't even know how to describe it, but the blue ball just went and took him and zooped him out the window and I didn't see that man again. So, wow. Yeah, I wish that I could give you guys this fluffy, beautiful story about how my grandmother was telling me she loved me. I didn't experience that at all. In fact, I didn't have an encounter with my grandmother until I was in my
20s. Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, so just because we could talk about this forever. So just while we're at this point,
yes,
to hear more stories, your podcast is about to be launched. What's
yeah,
the next
it's launched.
Podcast? It has launched.
It's launched. Yep. It's called Tea with Tui, as in have a cup of tea. I'm spilling the tea on all things spiritual and all things woo-woo. And yeah, you can find it on Spotify. We're still waiting for Apple to
I need to help you
search.
With that. Yes.
Yeah, it's
available. Let's get that sorted.
It's available.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I will get that sorted. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, but you can find those links on my website.
Okay. All right then. Oh, my God, I love these conversations. So to the listeners, I met Tui in Melbourne. How many years ago would it be? Like 7 maybe? A long time ago.
I think so. Long
yeah.
time.
Yeah. It was one of my workshops that I was running and we've stayed in contact ever since. And I've coached Tui and Tui's certainly seen a lot of me because every time I hit a roadblock, I book in with Tui. She is like my secret source for navigating. Yeah. So can we talk about how you help people? Because, I mean, the way you help people is different depending on what they need. But correct. Take us through however you want to explain it.
I love it. So the main things that I focus on, everybody's situation is completely different, which is fantastic because as somebody who loves variety, I certainly get that with every client. But I really start my sessions with where is my client most challenged? Where are the biggest blocks? Where are the biggest breakthroughs? What do we need to do to find the most efficient and effective path to get to where they want to go? So I'm really looking at not just where you are right now, but where what's preventing you from being able to get to where you want to go. And that vastness is so different for everybody. There are people who come through with past life challenges, people who come through with, you know, family karma, lots of beliefs, lots of mindset shifts that need to happen. So I really just allow spirit to go free range with the client. And my objective is to get them to their path as soon as possible. And And we don't all have to suffer in order for that to happen. And I really drill that into people, especially my clients, like, if you don't have to wait a long time, I'll find you a shortcut. Sometimes there are times where we, and it's very rare, might happen like 10%, if that, of the time, where there are things that are preventable. Like, let's say a client wants to meet their soulmate, but currently their soulmate's in a relationship and there's nothing that I can do energetically to influence that relationship, because without that person, their soulmate, going through the lessons that they're currently learning, they wouldn't be the type of soulmate that my client needs right now. So there are some things that are out of our control, but for the most part, yeah, everything else, it's a big playground. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah,
does that make sense though?
Yeah. Look, it does to me, but I think that it's a really hard service to market and explain until someone goes, you know what, I'm just going to book in and see how it goes.
Yeah. It can be, because I am very different. I've learned I'm very different to the way that other people read. I'm not just reading past, present, future. I really like to get into what's stopping you from having everything that you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know that I'm also very confronting for some people. So I'm not everybody's reader, because if something's not working out, I will lovingly share that news with you, and I will explain to you why you are in this situation, why it's time for you to grow out of it, where it means that you're going to go to beyond that point. And sometimes, you know, I just feel like people need that big picture clarity when they're in the middle of the forest and they're not ready to give up their career or their relationship. People really sometimes need to see the bigger picture in order to make the decisions in the here and now to make those changes moving forward.
Absolutely. Mm. Now, you are in absolute high demand for these one-on-one readings. And as we know, as business owners, we can't just swap time for money. Okay.
Right.
So beyond the one-on-ones, in fact, anyone that's listening that wants to get in with Tui, just book in, because you've got to book in well in advance to actually get in there if you can. Beyond the one-on-ones, you've got lots of things going on. Shall we talk about the retreats first?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
Like retreats. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really lucky. You know, Spirit tells me ahead of time, and it can kind of be annoying, guys, believe it or not, to have somebody in your ear when you think that you're heading straight and somebody's saying, okay, in the next 2 kilometers, you're turning left, and that was never your intention. I remember about a year and a half ago, Spirit said to me, oh, by the way, this was in the peak of my career. I was already so busy. And Spirit said, oh, by the way, you're going to be doing retreats. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, I don't even know where we're going to find the time. How do you expect me to do this? And this is the perks about it, is that 3 days later, I get this phone call from a beautiful friend of mine, Linda Everdeen, and she said, Tui, I'm thinking about running retreats. I want you to be a facilitator. And I'm like, okay, I just know then to say yes, because Spirit's already got this ball on its roll. And now we're doing retreats all around Australia, but also all over the world. So the retreat that's coming up in May will actually be in Tuscany. And to give a heads up, maybe a relauncher exclusive, we will actually be in Greece next year. Next year in May, Greece has been confirmed. And it's so beautiful because they're all about empowering the self. These particular ones are about empowering women and, you know, really unraveling, you know, who you are, tapping into your inner goddess, tapping into your inner femininity. It's just so magical. And men, don't worry if you're listening. We've got plenty coming up for you all. But, yes, you can definitely expect to see way more coming.
Now, you also have an academy called Our Rising Academy.
Yes.
Oh, God. There are so many facets to your business. But let's talk about the academy, because this has been a bit of a dream coming to fruition over time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so It was COVID. I had known, Spirit told me in the first year of my business that I would eventually teach and mentor other intuitives. But I am somebody who, I'm not just going to create a program that where I don't have experience, where I can't talk about something fluently and in depth. So, you know, creating the school was about 10 years in the making, and it was just because I really honor my craft and I honor spirit, and I want to really honor my students to find the most effective way to tapping into your intuition. And so during COVID, I noticed as my career tripled, my business tripled during COVID. I was in Victoria lockdown. So we were in lockdown for about 2 years and I could not keep up with demand. I must have been doing about 100 to 120 readings a month, could not keep up. We had a massive wait list. And what broke my heart was that I actually didn't know enough spiritual light workers that could support my clients in the way that I wanted them to be taken care of. And so from that space, the Academy was born. I knew that once I could capture my breath, I wanted to teach people how to develop their gifts, how to tap into their intuition. And then the sad thing is that in my industry, there's a lot of really great readers, but because the spiritual field don't really have a business backbone, because they don't know how to run business, they are often typically not found. And that broke my heart as well, was that there's so many great readers who are just not doing the work because financially they can't afford to pay the bills. And, you know, I'm really passionate about changing that in my industry. I'm very passionate about, you know, I'm unashamedly putting money in light workers' hands because I just think, you know, the money's going to go somewhere. It may as well go to people who are heart-centered, heart-focused, and ready to give back to others. And so if it means that I've got to nurture these people in business, then perfect. I will do that too because, my industry is really capped. Financially, we're really capped. They have and it just breaks my heart because we're really here to give back to so many people.
That's so true. So what makes you different then? What have you done that it's allowed you to be seen and heard and found?
I put my, from the start of my business, what set me apart, and I got a lot of slack for people in my industry, I actually pitched to skeptics. So I knew that I could do what I do, and I wanted to find the biggest and baddest skeptics, and I put myself in front of them because I knew that for every skeptic that I could turn with 10 other intuitives or 10 other people that were already open, as soon as that skeptic says, this person's the real deal, and those people who know that person intimately, biggest moneymaker machine. And skeptics, I feel like, will push you. They'll push you. They'll push you out of your realm. And I enjoy not staying comfortable in what I do. I enjoy the challenge, and you know, I think that's my advocacy for spirit. You know, it's real. It's real. And
it's real. I can tell you that.
Yeah. And I let the work speak for itself. So, yes.
Amazing. Would you say then, because over years, like obviously you're speaking more and more to spirit, does your craft evolve?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So with intuitives and empaths, we draw on so much of our life experience initially. Okay. So we will often find that empaths and intuitives will go through quite a hard life. They will. But everything that could go wrong or could happen to them typically does happen to them. They're very sensitive people, which is why my industry, there's a lot of self-love work that needs to happen, self-nurturing, self-development. When I came into the industry, it wasn't nearly as popular as it is now. It was popular, but no way. Like, there were way more skeptics. There was a lot more naysayers. So I definitely think when I started my career, I was just lucky to get in before the big boom, because then once the boom happened in our industry, I'd already had my name established. I forgot the question.
I'm just saying, did your craft and skill evolve
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I started noticing that there were particular areas in people's energy that I couldn't quite tap into. So then I went to go and look in other areas to basically ask better questions. So that's where I came into coaching 5 years ago, before coaching was really a big popular thing as well. I knew with spirit that it just came down to questions. You ask the right question, you'll get the answer, but you don't ask the question.
Or to spirit?
No, to clients, with clients. Yeah. So when I'm talking to spirit, they will show me things, but there will be particular blocks that I would see with clients that I couldn't quite tap into. And that's where I looked elsewhere to develop my skills in other areas to pull that through. And then it made my job even more efficient and effective. So as I've developed and I've invested in myself to learn other skills outside of developing my craft, I was really lucky. I haven't had a lot of spiritual teachers, but the ones that I have are world class. So James Van Praagh, Lisa Williams, the biggest people that I could get access to in my industry, I went and learned under them. And then business skills, all that sort of stuff. As business started to evolve, I knew that I had to evolve with my business. And so they're just, the range is huge.
You know what I love about you is that you invest in yourself. And I think it makes the biggest difference in both business and life. And we were talking about this in the pool, actually, at Sunshine Coast last week. So much of this is about investing in yourself. And sometimes it feels like an expense that you can't quite, you know, like meet. Some of these expenses are huge. But, you know, you kind of got to work out what's going to suit you for this stage you're at and just go for it.
Exactly. Well, spirit always taught me that money was just energy. It's just energy.
I love this analogy. Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So all money is it's energy. It's the currency, the current energy that we use on this physical realm. And energy, when it becomes stagnant and it stands still, it doesn't grow. Energy needs motion in order to grow. So as I see it, and what spirit's always taught me, is that money will buy you two things. It'll buy you time and it'll buy you opportunities. Those are the two things money will buy you. Outside of that, it doesn't buy you any, it doesn't really serve as any other purpose. So when we're investing in ourselves, we're saving time. Be it the cleaners that we get for our house or the gardener or being coached or taught by somebody to find the information even faster, that's where you invest your time. When you're investing your money in that space and you're getting your time back, you're actually able to do so much more and make an even bigger impact. And I've always known that with spirit. And money enjoys movement. It actually enjoys movement. So we can definitely have savings in there. I definitely recommend that people have savings. But when we get to the point that we can't touch that savings because we start to believe something bad might happen, or, you know, the rainy day is going to come, or Armageddon's going to be here on earth, like whatever it is, that money and that energy is just going to stay stagnant. But when we invest it, we give it the breath of life to be able to grow and expand elsewhere. And that's going to look different for everyone. But I have always known that with spirit. And the beautiful thing is that spirit has always taught me my money makes more money. So I've always had this mantra that my money makes more money. So when I invest my money makes more money for me. And it comes even faster. Mm. And I definitely encourage, especially that this is a business podcast, I encourage you guys to take that on, that my money makes me more money. And money isn't meant to come in a hard way. It's just a human conditioning that we've learned, that we've, you know, money needs to come through struggle. That's not spiritual truth. That might be a human belief or a human story, but that's not truth. Money's everywhere. It's just our perception. Yes. That's how we manifest it towards us. Correct. Does that make sense?
Oh, to me, absolutely. And then with life, I mean, we've had this conversation. We're not supposed to struggle.
No, we're not. it's actually not normal for us to struggle. It's something that we have learned through hundreds of years, that of hierarchy, of kings and queens and all that. So there is, we have to honor that there is a cellular memory in our DNA that has taught us for generations before we were, any of us were a thought, that, you know, that money is hard, or acquiring money is hard, or, you know, you have to work hard in order to get where you want to go. I think what we're noticing here, especially the way that society is right now, we're seeing how actually for some people, money comes so quickly.
Yeah.
It comes easily. And that's what I love about the power of social media, is that through them, spirit is able to show people what else is possible. But we're not meant to struggle. No.
No.
We actually can have heaven on earth.
Well, we've had this conversation saying, and when we're in the pool, oh, isn't life fabulous? You know, like literally, are we awake? Yeah. This dream's amazing. You know what I mean? And so for people that find things are difficult or they're struggling, would you say part of it is a mindset shift, or what do they need to do to break away from feeling like they're struggling or actually being in situations where they are struggling?
It can be a variety of things. So I always talk to my students about our four bodies. So we've got a spiritual body, an emotional body, a mental body, and a physical body. So we could have beliefs in all four of these bodies that can actually influence us. So a big part right now is mindset, but there are just some things that happen in people's lives that goes beyond mindset. Like, we can say today when I wake up, the sky's going to be blue, but we're seeing gray skies out there. The reality is that person is only going to be able to see the gray skies, and they're not going to be able to see the blue skies that are just hovering above it. And so this is where we go into, it could be family beliefs. So really, I would say stay in an incurious mind. Stay in a curious mind. Is this my belief? Is this my story? Where did this come from? And sometimes we'll find that it comes from our family. Sometimes it might have been something that our teacher always used to say growing up. It might be something that the neighbor said. So we carry these stories and these belief systems for so long that a lot of people don't look back at their own rules and beliefs that they've gathered a long time. They don't look back with that out eyes looking and going, does that rule or belief serve me?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, typically why they'll come to me at this case is that it'll be spiritual. So it could be past life. So yesterday I had a healing with a client of mine who was struggling going on airplanes. She actually came to have a healing because she had massive panic attacks and anxiety getting on a plane. Intertwined with that, Spirit was telling me how she was also having issues in her relationship. So as we're doing her healing, I said to her, she'd never done a healing with me before. I said, look, I don't know where we're going to go. You just sit back, relax. I'll go do what I need to do. And during her healing, there were several things that came up that might sound really bizarre, but it actually all made sense to her. So here's the first thing that came up. I saw that she was a bird and got shot out of the sky.
Oh.
So she's flying. Yeah. So she's flying as a bird, doing her own thing, and I get this impact to the head and I fall down. This is her soul's first memory of being in the air, being dangerous. So I was like, oh, that's really interesting and so random. Not everybody comes back as animals, but this particular client was. Then I said, well, show me your next life. Like, where is this next trauma? The next trauma was she had become a flight attendant, and she met her husband. They were newlywed husband and wife. He was the pilot of one of the very first aircrafts that was created on Earth. And she was one of the stewardesses, and it was quite a small plane. Anyway, she was one of the passengers on the first crash that ever happened, the first plane crash. She was one of the stewardesses on there. And so she learned then that, okay, when I'm up in the air, I die. I keep dying when I'm mid-flight or I'm up in the air. In that lifetime, this was what started the ripple effect of her journey through troubles with relationships. So newly married, her soul, she hasn't been able to have kids and she's been waiting for this person. I didn't know any of this till after our session.
Right.
And then the next incidence was they decided, okay, well, we're not going to fly. In this lifetime, I'm not going to fly. So they go to this, they are born into this small town in Greece, and she decides to pick a human body that would, that her partner, her soulmate would love and adore. Well, in that lifetime, so did many other men. And she was actually assaulted in that lifetime, told this person that she's going to tell her dad, ended up, he ended up killing her and throwing her over a bridge. And when I brought that up to her, she said, oh, my God, I've always had this thing about bridges. And he stuffed her up in a little bag, threw her over the bridge. So we can see the trauma about flying and in relationships. Right. And then in this lifetime, now after so many lifetimes of trauma, she's now going, I've got to wait for my soulmate. Maybe he's never going to come. Maybe I can't go onto a flight. Every time I go onto a flight, I get really bad anxiety. And every single thing that happened, she just totally, it made sense to her. Everything, even the relationship with her dad. It was quite interesting. And that's where people come to see me. It's like, I've done all the things. I've done all the things.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so it's different. Every single person is different.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Far out. Listen, we can talk forever. That's fact. I think I'm going to have to get you on again because our time is about to run out, and I know that you've got meetings to go to as well. So can you just quickly tell everyone where they can find you? And I'm also going to put a link on my website that will link through to yours.
Easy. So the best place you can find me is on tuitakitty.com. I'm on Instagram a lot. There's also a lot of ghost stories that you can hear from me on TikTok, but my website is the main hub where you'll find out where I am, what I'm doing, what events has got coming up, and you'll have links to all of my other businesses too. So
look, the ghost stories are good. So if you like a good ghost story, definitely go and check TikTok. Now, can you just spell your URL? Because no one is going to get that otherwise.
Okay, sorry. It's tuitakiri.com. Tuitakiri.com.
Tui. We're going to get you on here again. I know that this was quick and a bit of a power session, but, you know, we're busy.
Yes.
And also, like, this is a lot for people to digest. You know what I mean? Like, it's, this is not, like, For some
this
people,
isn't just your Sunday conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We need to come back and talk about past lives and things like that because
100%.
I know we just touched on it, but there's a whole world there.
There's a whole world. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
My pleasure, Tui.
All right. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, it's so good to have you here. All right, then. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll, as I said, we'll get you on here again soon.
Easy. Thanks, guys.